Hello and welcome. You are listening to the teaching ministry of Coastal Oaks Church in Rockport, Texas. It is our hope that you will be encouraged and that your desire to follow Jesus Christ will be challenged and strengthened as you listen to this podcast. For more information on location, service times, and what to expect on your next visit, go to coastaloakschurch.org. Now, grab your Bible and study along with us as you listen.
I invite you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1 this morning. Philippians chapter 1. We're in the midst of our study on the disciples' journey. We're in the part of our mission statement that talks about connecting with others in the body of Christ. And in that lessons in connecting, we've already looked at, first of all, our motivation. What is the purpose for Coastal Oaks to be in existence? And we've looked at the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. The Great Commandment says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbors yourself. So we look at those and put those in our mission statement. Number one, we're to love God. Number two, we're to connect with others. Then the Great Commission says we're to go and make disciples of all nations. That is reaching our world. So we looked at that motivation initially. And then the next section in our lessons on connecting, we talked about expectations. Expectations of church members. And if you didn't get anything from that day, let me just give you a summary. What we said when we talked about expectations, we want you to understand that being a part of this church is not about you and your desires and your preferences. Hope we got that message across. It is about the kingdom and bigger issues than us. We talked about organization, that Jesus is the head of the church and the pastor is the under-shepherd and overseer, and God gives that decision-making authority in the congregation that's been entrusted in the leadership team, and then the role of the deacons to be servants. So this fourth chapter in the study on lessons on connecting, which every new church member will go through once we finish this study, is affiliations, partnering with others to share the gospel with the rest of the world. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul writing there, he says, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I want to key in on the phrase in verse 5 there, as Paul tells the church at Philippi his encouragement of being a part of them. He says, we are partners in the gospel because of our partnership that we have. I thank God. We're going to talk about that partnership that Coastal Oaks has with other churches and with the denomination today, because I think it's very important that every church member understand how we're put together and how we relate. So number one, in your outline, we partner with other Baptist churches to share the gospel. Coastal Oaks is a Southern Baptist congregation. We're a part of a denomination. And so what we've chosen to do to be a part of that denomination is to partner with other Baptist churches. Although we're autonomous, we talked about that, we're self-governing, we're self-supporting. There's no one telling us how to do things here. We're a congregational church that decides that. No, there's no hierarchy in our convention. We still voluntarily, willingly choose to partner with other entities, other churches, Baptist churches. So let's look at that partnership on three levels. First of all, the area. That's the association. We are a group of churches, about 60 churches and missions, that's called the Blanco Baptist Association. And that encompasses Aransas County, San Patricio County, Bee County, Live Oak County. Those counties, churches in that area, gather together in a way of partnership to do ministry to reach this part of our community where we live. That's our association, and we give 1% of our budget to that organization, which is made up of us and other churches. The next level of cooperation and partnership is the state. The state. We are part of the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention. We give 8% of our budget receipts through that ministry to go on to missions and ministry. That convention is made up of churches in Texas like us who have made a commitment to the Word of God, to missions and evangelism, and we partner with them to reach people in Texas. And the next level of cooperation is national. National. That's the Southern Baptist Convention. Southern Baptist churches in America. Recently, our convention voted to tell churches they could use the name Great Commission Baptist if they wanted to. That organization is 41 state conventions like our state convention, 1,200 local associations, 42,000 churches, 16 million something members. That is the Southern Baptist Convention nationally. So Coastal Oaks Church chooses to cooperate on the area level with churches, on the state level with churches, and then on the national level with churches. That is not a hierarchy. The national convention doesn't tell the state convention to tell the area association to tell the churches what to do. It's the other way around. I used to say for years the headquarters of the Southern Baptist Convention is 2002 FM 3036. Because that's really where it is. Here is where the authority is in the body, local body. So let's move on. We are part of Southern Baptist, that convention, because of three things. There are many more, but I've just tried to narrow it down to these three key emphases that our convention believes and that I believe are why I are a Southern Baptist. Okay, number one, the authority of the Word of God. The authority of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. We all know John 3:16 probably. 2 Timothy 3:16 is a good one too. Listen to the scripture. All scripture, this is God's word saying about itself what it is. All scripture is inspired by God. Some translations say God breathed. That's literally what it means. God breathed and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. So the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We broke that passage down a month or so ago and really looked at it in detail. But the heart of this is that Scripture is God-breathed. Peter writes in I think it's 2 Peter, that no prophecy, no word came from man, but men, as they were moved by the Spirit, recorded the things that God wanted recorded. This is God's inerrant, infallible word. It's His truth that He's given us. One of the reasons why I'm excited to be a part of a convention that I'm a part of, that we're a part of, is because they believe in the authority of the Word of God. This is not secondary, this is preeminent. We believe in the authority of God's Word. I love the story. A little boy named George Patton, 8-year-old. His father was in journalism, was a journalist, and because of that, he was able to meet the president and shake the president's hand. So George goes back to school and he says, "I shook hands with the president." And his buddy said, "No way." He said, "Yes way." They said, "No way." And it went back and forth, back and forth. Finally, the argument got so intense, the teacher gets involved. And she says, "What's going on here?" And they said, "Well, George says he shook hands with the president. We don't believe him." So the teacher writes a letter to the president and says, "Would you please settle this argument?" And it's amazing. The president was Abraham Lincoln. And in 1861, March 19th, he wrote this letter. It said, "To whom it may concern, I did see and talk with Master George Evans Patton last May at Springfield, Illinois. Respectfully, A. Lincoln." He got the letter to the church, to the class to let them know what George said was true. And I think, you know, this is the same with us. This is God's letter to us. This is God's word to us to say that experience you've had, that transformation of your life, it's based on truth from the Word of God. So look at it that way. God's revelation of Himself to us. Second thing that I believe is a key emphasis of the Southern Baptist Convention is the priority of evangelism. Number two, the priority of evangelism. Jesus said the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Look at Romans chapter 10 with me. The priority of evangelism. Many have memorized Romans 10:13, but I want to go further. Romans 10:13, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." We like that verse. That's a good verse. Did you know that? That means everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, those who place their faith in Christ as personal Savior. Doesn't matter how bad you've been, doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, the Bible says if you're willing to repent of your sins and trust Christ as Savior, the Bible says you will be saved. But look at verse 14. "But how can they call on Him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about Him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things." That beautiful means timely. It's interesting. You can take that word preach and just put the word announce. How can they hear unless someone goes to announce the truth? How can they believe unless they hear that message? And how timely is it that God would send those to announce the good news? We believe the priority of our convention is evangelism. For years and years and years, as a young pastor, I've heard guys preach, "Let's make the main thing the main thing." The main thing is we're here to lead people to Christ. It's not about us. It's not about our great fellowship and our worship. It's about seeing that lost people will come to faith in Jesus Christ. Stephen Olford tells a story, I love it, about a ship that was grounded on a coral reef, and they were shipwrecked, and all the sailors went to shore, and they're on the beach kind of getting settled in, and they're very nervous because in that day and in that area, cannibalism was still rampant. So these guys are shipwrecked on this island, and they're beginning to wonder, okay, are we in trouble? Is this one of those islands where we're going to be somebody's dinner? And one of the sailors crawls up to the top of a hill and looks over across onto the island. He shouts down to his buddies. He says, "Come on, boys, we're all right. I see a church." It wasn't so much that was a place where they could go hide out, but it was saying, the gospel's reached this island. You guys are worried about your lives. You're worried about cannibalism. The good news is the gospel has reached this island. Folks, that's the good news that's to reach every island. The Bible says we're to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Priority of evangelism. And by the way, that starts when you walk out of these doors. Sometimes our guys will pray at the end of the service, "God, as we enter our mission field." That's what we're doing. Did you know that? It's not over there. It's right there and then over there. Priority of evangelism. The third priority is the priority of missions. So an emphasis on the authority of the Word of God is God's infallible Word. Secondly, a priority of evangelism. And thirdly, the priority of missions. Jesus said, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few." Pray for the Lord of the harvest that he would send out laborers into the field. Let's talk about the priority missions and look at the second point in the outline and show how we have chosen as a denomination and as a congregation to be very strategic. So number two, we partner with others to strategically fulfill the Great Commission. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You ought to know it by heart if you've been around here very long. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea, and in Samaria, to the ends of the earth." That's another statement of the Great Commission. Jesus states it in Matthew 28, but it's also stated here. You will have power when the Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Let's break that down and look at how we as a congregation have decided to become strategic about reaching our world. This is what we've called the Acts 1:8 challenge. We've accepted it as a congregation. We've said, we're going to be a part of this to strategically target those four areas. Let's look at the first of those, reaching our Jerusalem. Letter A, reaching our Jerusalem. That's Rockport Fulton. And in the days recently, it's become Ingleside and Aransas Pass and Portland and wherever else you come from. God has said, "I'm placing this church here, the Church Coastal Oaks, right there in that location, to reach your local community for Christ." And we've tried to be intentional about that. Jim and Judy Redmond are our mission team leaders, and they are leading and mobilizing our congregation to be strategic in this one area. It's an extensive list, and I've tried to write down what I could remember, so you will forgive me if I leave something out, because there's so many good things we're doing, I can't remember them all. Yeah, that's true. We're involved in Good Samaritans. We have them in our budget. 1% of our budget goes to Good Samaritans, which meets needs of folks who are in trouble with need food, need rent, need help with housing, those kinds of things. There's a flyer out there in the foyer if you want to pick one up. We're also participating in the Christmas baskets where you can bring things, and there's an explanation of what to bring financially, how you could help out with those Christmas baskets that go to the needy in our community. Also, on Tuesday of this week, you can give online, and that money will be matched, I think, Tuesday only. There's information. There's some posters out there. Good Samaritans, a local ministry that several of churches have come together to sponsor and support that ministry. We also join a community table locally on Tuesday nights at the Presbyterian Church. All the churches in the community just about have come together, and we serve food there in that ministry. Right out of our church, we've had several outreach projects. For years, we did the Pumpkin Patch Ministry. Angel Tree is coming up where you can buy toys that are given to people who are inmates, their children. And we just every year, the angels go off the tree quickly. We participate with Toys for Tots at Christmas time also. We've done that. We have water distributions that we've done in the community where we go to the beach or to parades through the streets to pass out water and minister to people. The nursing home ministry. Our Care and Share ministry, which is a free garage sale, if that makes sense. It's a free garage sale. We literally fill up the gym with stuff that people bring and say, I want this to be given to people who have that need. And they show up early, and clean the place out. People with needs are church ministers that way. We do that at least once a year. Is it a couple times a year now? Just once. Judy said once. Once a year. Once a year. We also reach our Judea, secondly, our Judea. You will be witnesses in Jerusalem, your city, Judea, moving out. We let that remind us of Texas. For years, we participated in PRL ministry, started by someone in this church where we wrote hundreds of letters to inmates in our prisons. We've participated at South Texas Children's Home in Beeville, which is in our association, our area, and done carnivals there, and even sent one of our families to minister there for a while. New church starts. We were a part in this area of starting several new churches. The Trailhead Cowboy Church in Goliad was sponsored by this church when they started. We sponsored them for a while, and now we our sponsorship is with the Cowboy Fellowship of San Patricio County. Our association sponsors them. Brand new church start. Both of those churches are growing vibrant churches. We also have a state mission offering every year that we bring in the month of October. We just finished that Reach Texas offering. That's how we reach our state, our Judea. Then reaching our Samaria, letter C, our Samaria. This is, if you kind of look at concentric circles working their way out from our Jerusalem, Samaria just is our reminder of North America. North America. We give to our convention's cooperative program to reach North America. We have a North American mission board with 5,000 missionaries. Many of them are partially supported by this special offering and by the convention. We have 6 theological seminaries. I've been to 2 of those. I think that's all I'm going to do right now. But that's supported through the gifts of our people. Speaking of new church starts, we've sponsored a church start in Cheyenne, Wyoming. 1% of our budget, I believe it's 1% now, is going to Life Point Church in Cheyenne. And we've sent several mission trips up there. We've sent, choir has gone up there. Several times our group has gone up. Several years ago, just a handful of us went up and there was no church. It was just Zachary and Amber Edwards there in the community, in their home, inviting people to Bible study. And we prayer walked that area, prayer walked the neighborhoods, prayer walked the city, handed out flyers, walked around a community center that we thought this would be a great place to meet. And we prayed that God would give that to the congregation. And they've rented that place for a couple of years now. Congregation is growing. They had over 80 people in worship last Sunday morning. Incredible. Baptized 2 people. He's baptized people, it seems like, every week for the last couple of months. Life Point Church. We're involved in reaching North America, Cheyenne, Wyoming. I'm praying with a young man right now who's praying about starting a church in New York City. And that would be another opportunity for us to do ministry. So lots of opportunities. By the way, we think about Cheyenne. We're even going to send one person out to do a mission trip next week. Leroy Sioux Falls is going to lead a men's retreat there. So God just keeps giving us opportunities to impact these places in North America. Let me move on to letter D, reaching the ends of the earth. The ends of the earth. This reminds us of our mandate to take the gospel to the nations. Look with me at Acts chapter 13, a significant passage. We're going to talk about how we can be that sending kind of a church. For years, I prayed that God would allow me to pastor a church that was mission-minded, that God would allow me to be a part of a congregation that sent people out, that made missions a priority. God answers that prayer in so many ways beyond my imagination, to bring retired missionaries to come here and to serve as our mission team leaders, to bring people with a passion for missions. God has answered that prayer. And so I want us to look at the calling that we have as a congregation in Acts 13. In the church at that was in Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius the Cyrenian, Manaen, a close friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work I have called them to." Then after they had fasted, prayed, and laid hands on them, they sent them off. Let's talk about this. First of all, the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, prompts the church to send out missionaries, number one. The Bible says in verse 2 there, as they were praying, as they were fasting, the Spirit said, "Set apart men to go and be on mission." It's interesting. Barnabas and Saul, they were the ones God set apart, and they responded. The church is prompted by the Spirit of God. I love the analogy of a football game. Someone said, in a football game, you have a handful of people on the field who desperately need rest, and thousands of people in the stands that desperately need the exercise. Does that not describe our churches? We brag that we have 5,000 plus career missionaries on the field, but when you average that out with, I think, 16 million Southern Baptist church members, it doesn't really look that good. See, more of us are in the stands saying, yay, go get them. You do it. God calls somebody to missions, I'll be the rally, I'll be the cheerleader, I'll be the one that sends the money. Well, we are to do all those things. But I wonder, is it not possible that God is prompting some of you to step up and step out? For years we prayed that God would do that. Kevin and Michelle Kennedy began to pray about leading our mission team here, and they took one mission trip, and God spoke to their heart and called them out, and they were both very active participants in the life of this church, and God called them away to Pattaya, Thailand, and that's where they are now. Cindy Campbell, very active member of our church, did our media, worked in children's ministry, served on several key committees, very integral part of our church. Cindy went to Thailand, and God called her to Thailand, so she went. The Hammetts, God called them to missions, and they've left. Key people, Dennis a deacon, Carla Instrumental is our church treasurer, business manager. God called those people out. See, the Holy Spirit speaks to hearts, and people respond. And I'm glad that people respond, but look at point number two. When people respond by obediently saying, God has called me, God's people should obediently send them. The people of God who are still here should obediently respond. The Bible says here, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work I've called them. Then after they'd fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them off. The church said, you go, guys. We're going to send you off. We're not going to cling to you and say, we can't do ministry without you. God, send somebody else. God, send the person who's really not that great at teaching Sunday school. Maybe they can make it on the mission field. God, send that person who's not very charismatic and that person who's just kind of really not that much of a conversationalist. Just send that person. Let them, maybe they can make it on the mission field. Well, the Bible says God calls out the best. He calls out your key leaders. Church has to be willing to say, we're going to send them. I've shared that John Bassanio, for a while, First Baptist Church in Houston, decided to reach their inner city, so they were trying to revitalize some churches that had died in the middle of Houston. And so every Sunday morning he gave two invitations, one to join the church and one to leave the church. I like that. By the way, that's the invitation here every Sunday morning. If you need Christ as Savior, to come to faith in Christ, if you know Christ as Savior, need to be connected to a local body, it might be this one. But if you're connected, maybe God's calling you to go. He's called so many of our folks. We've provided mission trip assistance in our church budget to help with the expenses of people going on volunteer trips. We've got a group that's going to Thailand in January. Our church is helping support them financially. We have a volunteer team that's going to Honduras in February. Our church is sponsoring that financially. And individuals have given us support, some of those team members. We've got a group that's going to Guatemala in August. Is that right? July. Andy's taking a team with Stepstones Ministries to Guatemala. And our church is going to be undergirding and supporting that financially and sending them off. See, when God calls and people obey, it's the responsibility of the congregation to send them. And not like this. Going out there, we'll pray for you. But to empty our pockets and to be on our knees, to sacrifice so that they can be a part of that ministry. I'm sure I'm leaving some stuff out. Goodness. We've been to Guatemala, Nicaragua, drilling water wells, Haiti before. I'm leaving a bunch out. I'm going to move on. I just think it's good that this congregation has been obedient to send. And number three, I've already talked about it, but I just want to drive this nail home. God's people willingly support those who they send. See, it's implied here as they sent them off that they set them apart, the very best to do ministry in another place, that the church said, we'll support you in doing that. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're not done yet. I hear all that. He filled in the last blank. It's time to go. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. It's right there. I couldn't find it this morning at 8:30. It's right there. Remember this, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. The person who sows generously will also reap generously. Can I stop right there and paraphrase and make some application? The church who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. The church who says we're a holy huddle, we like it just like it is, we like to keep our money and our people here, they're going to reap sparingly. But the church who sows generously, who says, God, you call them out, we'll send them, we'll support them, we'll continue to give, we'll reap generously. I've had people ask me, Pastor, why is it that we keep sending people overseas when we have a lot of needs here to take care of? Shouldn't we be spending more of our time and energy and money right here? And I say, I don't think that's what the Bible says to do. See, the Bible says to the ends of the earth. I think the church that is willing to support international missions with their people and the provision is a church God's going to bless. Verse 7 says, each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Can I just say it this way? God desires that you get in on the blessing of giving to support missions. And giving, whether it's missions locally, in our area, our state, our nation, our world. God doesn't want us to give because we have to. He wants us to give because we get to. There's a difference. I want this to be not because your arm's been twisted, not reluctantly or out of necessity, but because God's worked in your heart. God loves a cheerful giver. Isn't it interesting that when we talk about missions and ministry, that the pocketbook is so connected? God's people willingly support those who are sent. We continue to give to our mission offerings. We continue to give through our church budget. We continue to give to special offerings. We continue to give to individuals so that they can go. And we continue to sacrifice so that we can go. Zig Ziglar used to share this. So I'm going to read it to you. You've heard it before, but it's appropriate here. Mr. and Mrs. Thing are very pleasant and successful people. At least that's the verdict of most people who tend to measure success by the thingometer. When the thingometer is put to work in the life of Mr. and Mrs. Thing, the result is startling. There he is sitting down on a luxurious and very expensive thing, almost hidden by a large number of other things, things to sit on, things to sit at, things to cook on, things to eat from, all shining and new, things to amuse and things to give pleasure, and things to watch and things to play, things for the big thing in which they live, and things for the kitchen and things for the bedroom, things on four wheels and things on two wheels. And there in the middle are Mr. and Mrs. Thing, smiling in pleased pink with things, thinking of more things to add to their things, secure in their castle of things. Well, Mr. Thing, I have some bad news for you. I just want you to know that your things cannot last. There's going to be an end to them. And that's something to think about. Well, it's time for bed. Put out the cat. Make sure you lock the door to make sure that some thing taker doesn't come and take your things. And that's the way life goes, doesn't it? And someday when you die, they'll only put one thing in the box. You. Folks, eternity is at stake. And if we're going to just accumulate stuff so we can have a good life, while the world is dying to hear the good news, we've missed it. I pray we would continue to be a mission-sending, a mission-supporting church. Let's pray.